This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is fun. It's a fun party. No question about it. This is a fun situation. Hey, you guys are here. The fun continues, nay, increases.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Sweet Caroline. That's how you find white people everywhere. That is her battle cry.
What's up, y'all? It's Flat Earth Bob here. I'm starting this GoFundMe because I would like to send one, if not multiple, satellites as far into space as I can, or into orbit as I can, to find the curve. I'm looking for the curve.
It never ends. We're in a vortex of stupid, and it's reduced to a black hole of idiocy, and we're never going to escape it now.
Okay. Take two, folks.
And now.
It's so good to finally see two middle-aged white guys getting an opportunity.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday morning, the 28th of November. Let's not gloss over the fact that B.O.B. wants to put satellites into where? Orbit, to prove that the Earth is flat.
Did he say orbit?
He said orbit.
Oh, orbit. Okay.
Yes. You can't put something into orbit.
Yeah.
Unless the Earth is round. It didn't seem to have occurred to him.
Well, maybe he just thinks it's an endless orbit that goes straight forever.
Don't do it again, Kevin.
Okay.
Don't do it again.
Save myself?
We're going to get into gravity. It's going to be a whole thing. Jensen.
He's not chill about it. No, I know.
No.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Gravity turns the ship around. Yeah. That was part I wrote down where I was like, that makes me uncomfortable because what if when that doesn't happen?
Well, look, gravity's a constant, Kevin. It'll happen.
But yeah, what if it doesn't turn out the ship around?
It's a slingshot. Right.
But what if you keep going?
Well,
there's a lot
don't.
Of what ifs.
Grab, no.
That's why I'm not doing it.
Hey, Kevin, you know what? Of all the what ifs, gravity is not one of them.
Right.
Gravity is the one sure thing in this whole equation.
Could you get stuck in gravity, though, is what I'm asking.
Could you get stuck in
yes,
gravity
around the moon?
What does that even mean?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I may have interchanged the word gravity and orbit.
Sure.
Yeah, makes sense.
It's possible.
I would like Kevin to explain in his own words how we landed a craft on Mars the other day.
Oh, there's a satellite moment, too. Kevin loves science.
Oh, do we have a satellite?
Yes.
Oh, please. I hate ship right now.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
He wants to put his own satellites in space. To prove that the Earth is flat.
Do satellites go in space?
Yeah, of course they do.
Where do you think they go, Kevin?
Was that a legitimate question, Kevin?
No, I think they're in the orbit.
Where do you think the orbit is?
All right, let's move on.
Kevin!
How could I take the headline away from B.O.B.?
Where do you think the orbit around a planet is?
In space, of course. Don't be ridiculous.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I mean, there's a difference between the upper atmosphere, but I don't want to get into it now because
somebody emailed you.
That's not where orbit is. The orbit is not in the upper atmosphere. It's in space.
True Bill Nye.
Could we just do this all day? Could we just listen to Moments
Live
all day?
I'd rather not.
Why do we have to move on and do anything else?
I'd rather not. If we had another option, what would that other option be?
Actually, I do have something I wanted to get into.
Okay, good.
I could say... I know, I'm disappointed too, Allie. We could save this for What's Up with Florida, but it won't wait. He happened to be from Florida. I'm sure everybody on the show and everybody listening saw the video that was released yesterday of the Florida man in Switzerland going hang gliding for the first time on his first day of vacation.
I did not see this.
I did not either.
I did not either.
None of you...
Is that upset or excited?
So stunned.
Okay.
I couldn't avoid it.
Well, that's your weird Google alert for
him. Hang gliding Google alert.
Super bizarre for you. I'm so sick of the video by now. All right, so here's the story then from the CBS Evening News. It's going to blow you away.
Millions have seen the video today, but it is still hard to believe. A man from Florida whose first hang gliding ride was almost his last. With the views and the backstory, here's Manuel Bajorquez.
Yes. 3, 2, 1.
As Chris Gursky on the left was about to take off, it became painfully clear his pilot had not attached Gursky's harness.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Is that important?
That's key.
It is. Okay.
So I have many questions about this. I understand that this is the first time the dude had ever gone hang gliding. But I would think there would be a certain fear level that would make you, at a minimum, make sure you were connected to something.
Yeah, of course.
Before the guy jumped off the mountain.
And you say, check it twice and a third time, please, because I'm not positive.
So this guy jumps off the mountain, cliff, whatever it is, for the ride, and it is immediately evident to both of them that he is not harnessed in, so he is hanging on to a bar that is on the hang glider with his left hand, and then he's hanging on around the neck of the plus one with his right hand, that gradually throughout the video while they try to land keeps slipping lower and lower.
Oh,
at one point he's hanging onto his back, then he's hanging onto his leg,
then his
and
butt.
You could just tell that this guy is slipping. This guy has seconds to live, basically, unless they can get low enough. It continues.
To the glider.
Right after my feet left the ground, it was just like, is this how this is supposed to be? Something's not right here. We had a big problem here.
He could barely hang on, clinging for life 4,000 feet in the air for more than 2 minutes.
At one point, I looked down, and I saw the scenery down there. It was all the treetops changing colors and the little farmhouses. And I actually thought to myself, that is beautiful. I'm going to fall to my death there.
I mean, very legitimate fear at that point. And the guy who's, the instructor, the weight is all out of whack. So he's having so much trouble controlling it. And all he's trying to do is get down to the ground as fast as possible. But because of the way they keep tipping back and forth a little bit, there are times where he's going higher. Meanwhile, his customer is hanging on with his left hand for dear life.
Are you positive he had to go higher? Did he hate the guy from Florida?
I don't think he wanted this on his resume that he killed this dude.
I probably had 5 seconds left of me because my hand was starting to slip off that bar.
The incident happened last month. It was supposed to be an adventure trip to Switzerland with his wife, who took off before him and was unaware of what was happening.
I didn't really dwell on it. I thought it one time, but then I just thought that I'm just gonna hang on as hard as I can for as long as I can.
Maybe his wife arranged for it,
right?
Maybe
hers was fine. Hers went off without a hitch.
Hot take, guys.
Yeah,
this is what he was looking for. He got the biggest rush in extreme sports history. Like this, I went ziplining recently during my honeymoon. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I wanted something to happen. But say something happened.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Pretty cool. I lived through it.
Depending on the shape you're in.
Sure. Well, I want to live through it.
Sure.
But I'm saying if I were to live through it, this is the best possible scenario. You don't go bungee jumping so that it's the most calm, relaxed thing of all time. I'm not saying
you do it for the thrill.
Yes. This is the biggest thrill this man could have had.
But there's a huge thrill in doing what he's doing without falling to his death.
Maybe, but he got the best one ever. No one can ever beat this.
So they're going to start offering this package?
Yes. That's what
you're saying? Okay.
This is called the hang-on package.
Yes. If you go to my website, which is justmyname.com, I will be offering packages of not harnessed in at all. You just literally are floating in air.
I like it.
One of you will die, but the rest of you are going to have a great time.
Well, right. You haven't heard about his injuries yet. I don't know if that makes a difference to your plan.
I hold the business.
Okay, why don't you stop selling packages until you hear the rest of this?
All right. He says he hit the ground going about 45 miles per hour, breaking his wrist and tearing a muscle.
By the way, he has 7 screws and a titanium plate in his wrist as well. He held on literally as long as he could, and I'm using that word correctly here, and then he just fell. They weren't, I mean, how far did it say in the tape? 45 feet,
yeah.
Yeah, something like that. So he fell a long way, and then the instructor, you know, continued on and landed as quickly as he could.
And said to himself, finally.
Right. it's an astonishing story. We'll post, I'm sure Dave's got the video ready to post. We'll post that up on all the Kevin and Bean socials so you can see it if you did miss it yesterday. But, I mean, maybe Jensen's right. Maybe, I mean, except for the extreme pain, maybe he's got a story he'll never forget, the most exciting day of his whole life.
Yeah, you know? This is what, like, every Mountain Dew commercial's about. Like, this...
I don't think that's true.
Yes, this is the rush you're looking for when you do these kind of things. And I'm saying, again, myname.com, that's my website. I will be offering packages. Listen, insurance is going to be tough to get,
sure,
but yes. I will pay out of pocket.
You just have to waive insurance.
Oh, yeah, if you die,
Mountain
whatever.
Mountain Dew will pay for it, because at the end, the tagline's like, do the hang, and they hold up the Dew.
Do death!
Yeah!
I think we've just created a business plan here.
All right.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
That's more.
Jeff Ross and David Tell will be here.
Oh, they're delightful.
How exciting is that?
Bumping mics.
The good dudes. Funny, right, Allie?
Real. Well, that's the name of the special. It sounded real weird when I said it.
Yeah.
Real good.
I found it on YouTube with Jensen.
Mm-hmm.
We have William Shatner has a Christmas album. It's called Shatner Claus, and
it's great.
It is great.
It delivers beyond what you think.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, it could be the worst album ever made.
It actually could.
And on top of that, it's great because it's so bad.
I can't wait.
It's horrible.
I just had the best idea for William Shatner.
Okay.
Songs to get you in the mood.
Okay.
And it's called Shatner the Bed.
I'm not positive that's...
Listen, it's my name. The website is myname.com. Right. Alan and I are working with William Shatner.
I've been banned from Instagram.
Oh,
it's unbelievable.
And I got to tell you, I'm almost done.
You've honestly given up?
I honestly don't care that much anymore.
Okay.
You love and use Instagram, though.
Yeah, but what's my life without it? Fine. Do I need it? Not really.
Okay.
I'm good.
You sound mad.
But I was mad for a while.
Okay.
But now I'm just sort of,
it's been like a week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a long time in my world.
You're stranded, too. No one's talking to you.
Correct.
Correct. Yeah.
Are we doing What's Up in Florida, Bean?
Yes, we are.
Okay. That's coming up this morning. And also, we've got your tickets for K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas and Bud Light Backstage Passes as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
First, though, Allie's here with our first look at what's happening on a Wednesday morning.
So we've got Dave Attell and Jeff Ross coming in later.
Yes.
Dave Attell, like, on my top 5 list of comedians.
Fantastic.
So funny. We have another super funny guy coming in end of the week. I won't say it now because not sure he's confirmed, but also on my top 5.
He's confirmed, and Bill Burr is coming in.
Bill Burr on Friday.
Yep, right.
So that's 2 of my top 5. Right. Now I'm going to give someone listening a chance to see another guy on my top 5. Tickets to see Jim Jefferies, you guys.
Yay!
That's 3 of the 5. We have 2 left.
3 of the 5.
Gallagher 1 and Gallagher 2?
Yes.
Okay.
His brother, right? His twin brother? Insane. Uh-huh. Were they twins?
No, brothers.
No, I don't think so.
No, just brothers. But okay. They've sued each other over the act.
Sweet.
Insane. It's a great story.
They're like the Gallaghers. But right. Gallagher, right?
No room in your top 5 for the Armenian comedian?
No. God, no.
Well, he's an exception. Like, he's outside the top 5. He's above everyone.
But he's also more of an entertainer. You know what I mean? Like, he has a full show.
Yeah. Don't pigeonhole him as a comedian.
That's true. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Fair enough.
He crosses so many genres.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. So how about a pair of tickets to see Jim Jefferies, the Night Talker Tour? It's happening at the theater at the Ace Hotel, April 5th, 2019. Be caller 10 right now, and you're going to get a pair of tickets to see the amazing, the incomparable Jim Jefferies. You guys still in on The Walking Dead?
It's funny you should ask that, because I am, and I was watching the mid-season finale on Sunday night, and I thought, you know... this show doesn't need to go on forever. They're getting ready to go into season 9 next year.
Right.
I don't know how long it needs to be on the air.
Okay. I watch about one out of every three episodes. Uh-huh. So I wait for a couple of weeks, and then I just pick right up because it's pretty easy. If you've been watching it the whole time, it's pretty easy to catch up.
I mean, it's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
It's apparently, mostly walking, right? They just walk around.
And they're dead. Yeah.
No, not for me.
Apparently, some really epic plot twists. I won't say what they were, but a big deal happened on this show.
Well, a major character died on Sunday.
Yes.
Okay.
And it was Glenn.
But
again,
someone's also back, right?
Someone's also
all right. Bad. Listen, anyway, the point is, it
you
seems like
it. Why don't you? Okay,
it seems like fans aren't super invested
right.
anymore. Okay. Hit another ratings low for the season, which has already seen several drags. Sunday's Evolution was the lowest rated and least watched mid-season finale for the AMC series ever. It had a 2.0 rating and an audience of 5.1 million.
Still
a great number.
Yeah, I'm going to say again, that's a success.
Still a great number.
Not as great as it was. You heard me, a success.
Okay, thank you.
Absolutely. Walking Dead creator Robert Kirkman, I think you know him, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
His next apocalyptic tale is taking shape. He's now signed on for an agreement to produce something called 5 Year. It's an international series chronicling the final 5 years before a fatal meteor destroys the planet.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, they're going to focus on how people across the globe choose to live after learning that the world will end in 5 years. Each year is going to play out as a season, and each version will have its own unique characters and stories that will follow that same timeline.
I love
that. So that's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, I love it.
Could you clarify for me? We're talking about who?
Yeah, I'm not sure. What, Kevin, what is his?
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
But we're also going to talk about a movie. I'm sorry, a TV show, too. A TV show that is on AMC that is fantastic. And the creator of the graphic novel is Robert Kingsman?
Nope, Kirkman.
Can't read my own writing.
Robert Kirkman.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
That was Las Vegas, and I just walked right up and started doing the show, and that may not have been the best choice for a person with my skills.
Right.
Yeah, you stayed up all night then.
Yes.
Right.
I like it.
Let's only play Moments with Kevin day long.
This is ridiculous.
I love it.
Is it fun?
It's a hot theme today.
It's real good. So MGM and Jordan Peele's Monkey Paw Productions have confirmed the remake to the Clive Barker 90s horror film Candyman. What? You guys. So Peele said the original was a landmark film for black representation in the horror genre of film. Alongside Night of the Living Dead, Candyman was a major inspiration for me as a filmmaker, and to have a bold new talent like Nia at the helm of this project is truly exciting. Up-and-coming director Nia DaCosta is going to helm the, quote, spiritual sequel to the 1992 slasher classic. Production expected to begin next spring, and it's going to come out on June 12th, 2020. I'll remember that because that's my birthday.
That one time in a movie theater, you know how they have previews that like say the title and then have the date?
Mm-hmm.
I was in a movie theater once and it said, like Aquaman, and then the date said like November 25th, and then someone in the audience yelled, "That's my birthday!"
I am that
this
person.
This is the equivalent of that,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Anyway, you could do that at any point. It doesn't have to be your birthday. It's still funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, That's My Birthday is a conversation ender, just so everyone knows.
Yeah, we've had this whole conversation that, like, who cares?
It doesn't
cares.
Really start. No. There's nowhere to go from there.
No, in the movie theater, yelling it out, pretty good.
Sure.
Yeah. Yet people get so excited. Your birthday's on the 16th, mine's on the 17th. Like, there's anywhere to go with that.
And then they just stand there for a few seconds and walk away.
Right.
I like it. Some birthdays for you guys. Jon Stewart, Paul Schaefer, Ed Harris, Karen Gillan, and Berry Gordy Jr., founder of Motown Records. Remember him? Berry Gordy Jr.
Mm-hmm. Is he still alive? Did he die?
No, I'm just saying.
He's
remember
still alive.
Him?
Okay.
Like, that guy. What would you need him for?
Wow. That's what's happening.
The Kevin and Bean Show. The world famous K-Rock.
What's up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! Bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
You always have the craziest news. What's up with you?
Florida,
most penis-shaped state has been in the news a lot lately, and I guess I should thank you, the Kevin and Bean listener, for sending me this
just
story.
Just thank them. Just be nice and thank them.
And over and over again.
Lord. I hate it when people are helpful. Right? It's so annoying.
It's not that. It's the story, you guys. Oh. I know I have to do it, but I hate it. And I hate myself for doing it.
Okay.
And I hate the man who did it.
Okay.
Marion County Sheriff's Office, Major Crimes Detective Steve Giuliano arrested 21-year-old Citra resident Nicholas Anthony Sardo for having sex with a miniature pony.
Oh.
Named Jackie G. Several witnesses came forward and reported this activity, and Sardo confessed to the crime. A witness came forward and reported to Detective Giuliano that she had witnessed Sardo having sex with Jackie in a pasture on a family member's property 3 days earlier.
On his own family member's property? His family?
I guess it is his family, yeah.
Not
the first time.
I hate to tell you.
So it would be better if it was a stranger's horse?
Yes, of course. I mean, by a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing about this story I enjoy.
Kevin's really thought about how to gauge this.
Another witness came forward saying she had seen it as well, and she approached Sardo about it. He immediately admitted to her that he had sex with the horse, and that he had used a condom because he didn't want to get a disease from the horse. Now, I don't know anything about having sex with horses. What kind of disease could you get from... I mean, the horse Kevin? Doesn't have an STD.
I don't.
Okay. What are you worried about catching from the horse?
I think you get hoof and mouth.
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Mr. Sardo told the detective that he knew what he did was wrong. He was arrested on four counts of bestiality and sexual contact with the animal. He did it four times. You
it sounds to me like everyone that asked, he was like, yes, I did.
I did.
He did see
that. But how many people had to see him do it?
Right. So,
and another question, you know, a little bit of him thought, I don't want to get this horse pregnant. Right?
He does live in Florida. He could be that dumb.
Very true.
By the way, stipulations of the man's future contact with the horse, it says here, could be determined by a judge in the near future. Jeez. Hey, how about we just keep him away from the horse? How about we give Jackie a break? All right? Oh, I hate it so much.
I do too.
It's the worst. Deputies arrested a man who twice drove a stolen car to a pawn shop to sell stolen merchandise in Collier County. So here's what happened. A family member's home to check on it, a seasonal house in East Naples, and found out that the car had been stolen. The 2015 Hyundai, red Hyundai, in the driveway had been stolen. And the TV was gone. And it turned out that the guy who broke into the house, got the keys, stole the car, and stole the TV, took it to a pawn shop called Capital Pawn about 5 minutes down the street, sold the TV for $50. Days later, he steals more stuff from the same house with the same car and goes back to the pawn shop. So twice in the same car. The police had been notified after the first time because they had gotten a report that the car and the TV had been stolen. So they knew something about this dude. They were just waiting for him to show up again or waiting for a break on finding the car. And he led them directly to him by showing up at the pawn shop. People at the pawn shop called and said, hey, the dude's back again, trying to pawn more stuff. Don't you go to a different pawn shop?
I mean, I would think so.
Yeah.
But I mean, not if you're Florida. So.
Yeah, that's true, too. Mm. A woman who drove into a Crestview Waffle House was arrested earlier this month on charges of DUI with property damage. She's 44 years old. She attempted to flee after driving her vehicle into the Waffle House. Two sheriff's deputy deputies were nearby and heard the crash. They kept her from leaving the scene. They also noticed that she wasn't wearing any pants, you guys.
Oh.
And she was unable to stand without assistance. She was very drunk. And sometimes when you're sitting at home with your pants off and you're drunk, you just got to have some Waffle House.
Yeah.
I get where she's coming from.
I've never felt that myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't live in a Waffle House country.
That's true. That's very true.
If you live in a Waffle House country, you know that sometimes it just hits you.
Gotcha.
Did you guys see the picture? It was a viral photo a couple of weeks ago about a guy who was arrested. It was put on a sheriff's office Facebook page. His name was Charles Dion McDowell. It was drug possession and fleeing from the cops. And he has the biggest neck you've ever seen in your life.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh.
You mean big as in muscular?
Just the size. It giraffe-like. Was like a trunk it was of huge. A tree. Okay.
Yes, it was giraffe-like. That's a great way to put it. The neck was the same size as his head. It was like looking at a tree. It was so crazy. Well, he was in the news and he went viral. Once that photo was posted, it had over 300,000 social media shares. And people were going crazy with the neck puns.
Yeah.
They should put him in jail and throw away the key. You people should be ashamed of yourselves. All this negativity isn't right at all.
Ugh.
Yes, but his neck is still at large. I mean, it just went on and on and on, Kevin. You're not understanding. This guy's neck was big, okay?
Chip just showed him the pic.
It's bigger than his head. You said it's the same size.
It's huge.
Bigger.
What neck of the woods was he caught in? I mean, there was a lot of puns about it. Well, he gets out of jail, by the way, on bond. He was arrested again 2 days later. This time in Lee County, Alabama, driving with a suspended license, and then he sped up and tried to avoid the police. Spike strips were deployed. His car came to a stop. He was charged with attempting to elude, also possession of marijuana, reckless driving, other traffic charges. He has a new mugshot, by the way, so it's going to start all over again. I'm sure he is not amused. He has been released another time on bond, so now he's got two trials to look forward to, so we'll see a lot more pictures of this dude on the internet. He's got a big neck.
That's what you said. Right.
It's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's not a small neck.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And that's what's up with Florida.
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
All right, I've been banned from Instagram.
Well, you've had quite a run at social media, sir.
Kevin, God damn it.
Well, here's the weird thing is that I got kicked off Twitter and banned. And then I wrote in to say, hey, what's up? And within like a day and a half, they took away my verification, everything. Within about a day and a half or 2 days, they put it back up. Everything was fine. Never heard from them.
Huh. No email back. No explanation.
No explanation. Nothing. Right.
That's the most frustrating thing about dealing with social media companies. They don't have to tell you anything, and they don't.
And then you felt relieved. You were like, yes, oh, that's it.
Fantastic.
Must have just been a hiccup somewhere.
I assumed they made a mistake and fixed it.
Yeah.
And so no worries. Maybe 2-3 days later, Instagram, same thing. But different companies.
Yeah.
So Instagram, again, bans you.
Yes.
And gives you no explanation.
Correct. No, they did give me an explanation. They said, you violated the terms of our agreement. Please click here if you'd like to read the terms. And you click on it, and it's 50 pages of super tiny print. Yeah.
No one has ever read the terms when they click on it.
It's not possible.
Is it possible that you put out too many posts in a row where everything was spelled correctly, and they thought you'd been hacked?
Yeah, that's possible. Like, that is clearly not him.
That is possible. I also had somebody that just tweeted in, maybe your head's too big for photos. And I thought, well, it's possible, too. No, but here's the thing about that, is that you can't ask them either. They don't have to and don't respond to anything.
It is so hard to get banned from Instagram.
Yeah, usually they just kind of put you in a timeout for a bit.
It's not that hard because I went on YouTube and I just typed in the exact warning that I got. And there was
tons of Nazis who agreed with you.
50, there were 50 videos of people saying, this happened to me. I have no idea how it happened. Here's how you get back.
But I think what Allie was about to say is there are lots of egregious things that people do that are explicitly against Instagram's rules, and they don't get banned.
That's true.
Manage to stay up.
That is true.
And I feel like they should do like a temporary block, and then you kind of figure out what you did, whatever, it's restored within a couple days.
So I did get an email at the beginning saying your account has been disabled for violating our terms.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then they gave it's only going to be for a couple of days, right. No reason, no terms that I violated, nothing.
Throw out a couple of things that are common reasons why people get blocked or banned on Instagram? All right, mass following and mass liking.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They have a maximum number of likes. They don't want you to be a bot, basically.
Right.
And and just
they have a limit of how many pictures you can like.
People that have third-party apps that do that.
But I was nowhere near that.
So was there ever a time during maybe your insomnia when you're up at night where you just like 100 pictures in a row?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Excessively frequent publications. That's an algorithm, too, where you can't post too much.
I post a thing a day, maybe, too.
Yeah, maybe a couple times.
Maybe.
That seems chill.
So it's not that.
Yeah.
Images or videos violating social network rules. Now, this would be your penis photos, Kevin.
I have a lot of.
Okay. Ooh, that might have been it.
Yeah.
Photos and videos featuring naked body, sexual content, and violence are considered inappropriate.
No.
You can be banned for that. Is that possible?
None of that. No.
All right, how about this? And I hate to even bring it up because I don't want to put the idea in anyone's mind, but user complaints.
Oh, that's
a big
one.
Is it possible that you have been reported by somebody?
I got a
saying
bunch
your
of
stuff was inappropriate or whatever.
The first day that I brought this up, I got a bunch of people tweeting and saying it's super easy for people who don't like you or just want to mess with you, whatever. They can report you and report you and report you, and Instagram just takes it down.
Really? They don't, even, look at the content?
No, they don't care.
I don't believe that because
it's true.
I've reported people that have death threats, yes. Rape threats, all of that. They do nothing. So yeah. I find that hard to believe.
Well, all I'm saying is I was looking into all of the reasons why this might have happened.
Different IP addresses and devices is another one. If you're logging onto your account from multiple devices.
Are you going to different FedEx Kinko's and logging in? Okay.
Is it different libraries?
I mean, I have a computer and I have my phone.
Yeah, same.
Right, that's not the same.
Not
all right.
That's it.
Copyright infringement. Copyright issue is a big deal on Instagram. All images in your account have to be either yours or permitted by the author.
That's possible that there were some of those.
Mm-hmm. Because you've posted some videos here or there from your television.
Yeah, where I like take my phone and I take video of a football game
but
or something of 4 seconds.
Do that? That's what I'm saying. Every 5 seconds on social media.
That's what I'm
saying.
Also,
it doesn't feel like a full-time banning. Like that feels just like they take that one down or disable you temporarily.
Right.
Yeah.
This was not disabled temporarily. This is just disabled.
No, you're gone forever.
They didn't say deleted. They said disabled.
Hmm. But it's been a week, though.
So then I went on, like I said, on YouTube, and I typed in the exact thing that they gave me, and there were 50 videos, and there were so many people, and the answer was always the same.
We are Nazis.
No. Reply to them. Tell them that your account has been hacked. All of them say, doesn't matter if your account has been hacked or not, just say your account has
been
hacked.
So how many times have you sent this letter in?
So they send me an email, and the email says, thanks for contacting us. Before we can help, we need to confirm that you own this account.
Okay.
So take a picture holding a handwritten code. They give me a 5-number code.
Okay.
I write it in hand. I write my real name and my username.
Mm-hmm.
And I hold it. And both hands have to be visible.
This is crazy. Is this
to make sure that you don't Photoshop it?
Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
So both hands have to be visible. And then two or three different YouTube users said, also they have to be able to see both of your ears.
All right, they're punking you at
they're
this point.
I probably watched, I don't know, 15, without exaggerating, 15 YouTube videos about this. And they all say the same thing. Just send it back to them. Make sure your hands can be seen. Make sure that you're fully in frame. Make sure you write it by hand, blah, blah, blah. And they'll restore your account within 2 days.
And send me $3 million. Like, I feel like you're being hacked and punked or something.
I do too, totally. And so that's why I started sending goofy pictures of me, like really looking dumb. Like, you know how I take pictures? Most of the pictures I take, I look dumb. So I would hold the piece of paper and I would send them. I probably sent them 22 to 24.
Well, now they can ban you for spamming them.
Yeah. Responses. No, so there were many different people who said, do it every hour. That's what they said. And they'll restore your account. They just need to make sure that you're the person that owns it, blah, blah, blah.
So you've heard nothing
not
back from them?
Not a word.
Not a word.
After 22 or however many emails I sent them.
Are your ears?
Including one 5 minutes ago.
Are your ears visible? I'm nervous about the ears thing.
My ears are very, very visible. Both hands, yes.
Are you writing the right code?
I am.
Okay.
Yep.
Hashtag free
it's a good question,
dog,
guys.
Yeah, hashtag free
But then
dog.
We went upstairs and we were talking to our IT people and our Instagram people, and they were like, we don't know. We don't know.
Well, thanks for all your help.
Okay. So then I thought to myself, I literally have responded to them 20 times and I've not heard a word.
Yeah.
And how much do I really care?
Well, now it's the principle. Now I need you to get back on.
It was the principle 2 days ago.
For me, it's still the principle.
Okay.
Maybe we just make a plea out to anyone listening that knows someone at Instagram.
Well, that's
or
the
even
thing
if
is,
you don't.
I feel like maybe even it's a computer. I feel like maybe it's not even a person. Maybe they.
This is where Kevin goes insane and thinks computers are trying to murder him.
No, but don't you think they have their algorithms and their computers and
that
stuff?
Just randomly
respond to
ban
stuff?
Ban people?
No. Not randomly, but I would think if a few complaints come in or whatever, it gets put into a different.
Like this is all automated. You're not contacting. You're not communicating with the person.
That's my guess. But I don't know that.
What's the hashtag?
I'm
what
just
do we need?
Trying to make. I don't know that
there's someone listening who works for Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That person
for sure
should be able to at least tell tell us why he got banned and what situation he's in.
Or Facebook, who owns Instagram.
Sure.
Somebody has to work for them. I don't know.
Yeah. They're not busy right now with any, you know, huge news.
Exactly. So that's why I think they don't care at all, even a little bit. So how
I wish they would have asked Mark Zuckerberg about this during the trial.
Yeah. You
know? Would have been a perfect time to pin him down.
What about Kev Dog?
How many emails am I supposed to send, honestly?
Yeah.
Before I think you've done enough.
Yeah.
I've done it.
If you've said 20.
I said over 20.
Yeah. I think it's pointless to continue.
So stop. Because really, my life's not going to change if I don't have Instagram.
I love your Instagram. You post such funny things.
I feel like I do too, but how much do I care about that?
We need to put it out to the people. Yeah. Free Kev Dog. Does Dog have two or
it
one
has two G's? But
two G's. Hashtag Free Kev Dog.
Yeah. Okay.
And
hashtag Instagram. I mean, somehow we have to tag them.
Oh no, we need to put these in all of our stories at Instagram. Hashtag Free Kev Dog. We need to help you.
Or at least figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
And here's my guess: after having fought this battle behind the scenes for about 5 days, we're getting nowhere.
Yeah,
that's just my guess.
Well, you won't admit to the penis pics.
That's true.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
K-Rock. Jensen, what do you got for us?
Okay, here's the thing.
Jensen, what do you got for us?
All right, okay. That's a very easy way to make me not do a segment.
Kevin loves to ask the question, but forget to
turn on
your mic.
There are a lot of times I don't turn on my own mic, so it's nothing personal.
I'm not taking it personal, but because I have a gem today.
Okay.
And the segment is that I found this on YouTube.
I found this.
On YouTube, do-do-do-do-do-do. On YouTube, do-do-do-do-do-do. On YouTube, do-do-do-do-do-do. On YouTube.
Yeah, I get it. You hate DJ Khaled.
I do.
It makes so much sense because he's annoying and he has no self-awareness.
It's almost just like 100% hype and nothing else.
I agree with you because the new DJ Khaled is awful. But DJ Khaled has been basically in hip-hop for like a decade before you knew who he was.
Oh, really?
And the best part about him for a very long time was that he had absolutely no self-awareness to why it's cool. Because now you see him and he's like big, you know, he's yelling and, you know, he's like, keys to success. And
so he's sort of playing a representation of himself that he thinks everybody loves?
You know how you have that friend who like does something funny and you all laugh at it behind his back, but then he figures out you're laughing and now he's in on the joke and you're like, don't do it anymore?
Right.
That's DJ Khaled.
Okay.
But for a very long time, it was great. He was a Miami radio DJ in the late 90s on a station called 99 Jams. And as you know, I'm very Bean-like.
Sure.
So I listen to radio stations all over the country for no apparent reason. And he was like a weeknight radio guy.
Oh.
Okay.
And he was like kind of like fighting his way up. I mean, there's some LA guys similar. There's like, there was a guy named Felly Fell out here for a long time. Like dudes who just know a lot of people in hip hop and are radio guys. That was all Khaled was. He wasn't a producer. He wasn't anything. So he would do live reads on this station. And I remembered hearing one that I couldn't get out of my head forever. And it was the DJ Khaled who at the time went by the offensive name Arab Attack, which is...
That was his name?
Like his other moniker, DJ Khaled Arab Attack. And I remembered that being one of his names and being like, oh, well, I'm in love with this guy.
bad choices.
And then I heard his McDonald's commercials. So these are live reads that he would do on the air for McDonald's. Let's just start with one immediately.
And you know how passionate I am about McDonald's. Check this out. Sausage biscuit, 89 cents all week. I love sausage biscuits. Let me tell you something about that sausage biscuit. First of all, the biscuit.
Right.
Is so amazing. And that sausage, when you take one bite, let me tell you something about that one bite.
Yeah.
You be like, now this is what you call a good morning.
Like, wow.
Something to keep in mind about DJ Khaled, he's Muslim. So he can't eat the sausage biscuit.
Is that right?
Yeah, he can't even eat
it. He's acting. You know what's funny, though, is before he became the guy that we all know that's just the hype man and everything, he still had a lot of that just straight hype.
Oh, he's a liar. Talking, yeah, he's a liar. he's actually full of
BS. It's a sausage biscuit. Let me break that down for you. There's a sausage biscuit. And a biscuit.
And a biscuit. And he is just, these live reads were so out of control that I became, and a lot of hip hop became obsessed with them. Now, another thing you have to know about DJ Khaled is he's currently a Weight Watchers ambassador.
Uh-huh.
He's been so for about 8 months.
I thought he was overweight.
He's gained weight. He's the worst spokesperson for Weight Watchers ever. And even before he became, you know, super famous like he is now, he used to always Instagram pictures of himself on a treadmill or with weights. He's never lost a pound.
Wow. Yeah.
And one time, while he was on the treadmill, he was like, I'm on the treadmill, I'm getting my work done, and accidentally, he's like, I've been here, I've been doing my work, and he's like sweating, but then accidentally the camera passes the screen to the treadmill, and it's like 8 seconds. He's been on for 8 seconds. He was an amazing person who wasn't in on the joke. Here's another part of the live read, and you'll just see he was great at one time.
My thing is, I bought three of them. I don't know what you bought, I bought three. And now, they only got it for 89 cents, only for this week. So I ain't gonna lie to you, might be six. Three on the way to work, and three later.
Wow. I think we figured out why he's not losing weight.
Yeah, no kidding.
Sure. Yeah. He's eating six sausage biscuits.
Is Weight Watchers cool with that?
Oh, I don't think it's on the point system.
Okay.
Here's some more of Khaled.
Now, the chicken nuggets with that barbecue sauce, I don't know about you, but I know about me. I put two or three in my mouth immediately and start eating it like crazy. And you know what I do? I go back in my pocket, I buy more nuggets. And I get another double cheeseburger. You want to know why? Because there's a recession out there, and I love food, and it's only for a dollar.
I mean, he's got a good point.
I'm going to tell you, this is a very effective commercial.
I'm telling you, he was a great radio DJ.
We just sent someone out to McDonald's to bring back this morning, by the way, because this is already working.
He is a good spokesperson because he wasn't aware. Now, now it's so you're used to him saying these things.
Yeah, sure.
But this one is the one I think of all the time.
The McCafe hot chocolate. Let me tell you something about the McCafe hot chocolate. When you put that whipped cream on top and that chocolate syrup and that steamed milk, before you even drink it, when you have it in your hand and you feel how warm it is and you're saying, man, when I take a sip of this and then you take a sip and that whipped cream's on your face and even hits your nose, you don't even get mad. You don't even wipe it off because you immediately go back in for more hot chocolate.
You don't even get mad.
He's like, and then that whooped cream up in your face. It's like, it is the craziest person who's ever lived. And again, I know.
I need a hot chocolate now.
Yes. I know it's easy to hate DJ Khaled now, and you should because he's annoying.
He's the worst.
He knows the joke. But please understand there's a decade worth of DJ Khaled before he knew why he was funny. I love it, and amazing. I found it on YouTube.
McDonald's. Excuse me. We loving it.
I found this
on YouTube.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
First, though, Kevin, you've got a holiday treat for us.
William Shatner has a new Christmas album, and it's called Shatner Claus. And it's magical. It really is an amazing.
I haven't heard a second of it. I'm very excited. I'm going to hear it along with many of our listeners for the first time. But I will tell you, I just brought it up on Amazon, and it says it's a very special gift for the holidays, the first ever Christmas album from the godfather of dramatic musical interpretations and a legend of stage and screen.
Okay. You know who wrote that? William Shatner.
Featuring an incredible cast of supporting players. So it's not just Bill. You get more than the captain. You get lots of guest stars on the album, too.
Who's Judy Collins? Should I know who she is?
Yeah, she's a legendary singer-songwriter for 60 years. Kind of a folk music, pop music star.
All right, she's helping him on Dreaming of a White Christmas.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Yeah.
What does he say? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he Rain Man? That makes no sense to me. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah. Gotta be white. Dreaming of a white Christmas. Yeah. Just like the ones I used to know.
Sounds like a guy doing a Shatner impression.
Going on.
It really does. It really does.
Does he know he's being recorded?
Judy Collins sounded great, though.
Billy Gibbons?
ZZ Top.
ZZ Top. Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Tell me what's wrong with this.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen.
Comet and Cupid and Donder and Blitzen.
Donder?
He said Donder. There's only eight of them. Yeah, and the same eight have been around for 100 years.
Sabotage.
Say his name.
Sabotage.
What the hell?
Yeah. Is it possible in Canada it's Donder?
No.
Maybe they have a different version?
No, its name is Donner.
Donner, okay.
So why did he just insist on it? Did somebody not catch it?
I guarantee you an engineer told him, and he was like, don't care, good take.
Comet and Cupid and Donder and Blitzen. The most famous reindeer.
Is it Randolph?
Who says Donder? It makes no sense to me.
Also, you have to see the cover. The cover of the album, it's like the cheapest Photoshop of William Shatner in a Santa hat.
Dress up.
Barely, just the hat really creeping through a Christmas tree, and just the fonts are bad.
This is the jankiest. Like, you get the idea that he walked in, and 12 minutes later, he walked out. He was done with the whole album.
Yeah.
I wish I could play the full songs, but I don't have time. Next one is Little Drummer Boy. Little Drummer Boy should not be spoken.
No.
It should be sung.
I played my drum, for him.
Why is he saying rum pum pum pum?
I played my best for him.
Creepy.
That's a song.
Imagine if he's recording it in like a bathrobe.
Oh, like, and it's open.
It's open.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, in this one, he wants to point out that he's with Brad Paisley.
They're very good friends.
They're very good friends. Okay. So at the beginning of the track, he's very, very despondent as he's about to go into Blue Christmas.
Oh,
it's very a sad song. Yeah.
It's a sad song. Mm-hmm. But he does.
There's something uplifting.
Correct. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, this storm is never going to end. Oh, man, the snow is piling up. We're stuck here. Hey, is that Brad Paisley? Yeah, that's Brad Paisley. He's stuck here, too.
Yes.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you.
And now that's a full country version, and Brad Paisley sings on it.
Yeah.
I'm going to play one entire song.
I do love his voice, though, by the way, William Shatner. He does have a very captivating voice. It really draws you in.
Yeah, you mean for like reading books.
Maybe this isn't the best use of that voice.
This is not the best use of that voice.
Okay, what's the full song we're going to hear?
Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad.
Because you're not going to believe it. It's not believable. Because he's going, yee-haw! Through oh, absolutely. Oh,
yeah.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Right?
Feliz Navidad! Feliz Navidad! Feliz Navidad! Prospero Año y Felicidad!
I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart!
Feliz Navidad!
Why is that happening? Why is he doing? Does he think that sounds Spanish?
This is the Choco Taco of Christmas songs.
Feliz Navidad, prospero año y felicidad.
I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas.
I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas.
I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas.
I wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart.
Turn off his mic.
I'm sorry, that was him.
That was him. Just
wow.
That was William Shatner saying.
What's going on?
It sounds racist.
It's extremely racist.
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Okay, that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
No, really. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart.
Oh, wow.
Thirty
seconds, Bean. You can take it.
From the bottom of my heart.
You see that? You see that? You see how white people do?
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Don't ever play the Feliz Navidad again, by the way, please.
So play it again?
No, don't play it again.
Oh, it's the best.
Here's Sandy weighing in on the...
That's Shatner!
Wow. I know. Here's Sandy weighing in on at Kevin and Bean on Twitter. Someone please send the caravan to William Shatner's house. You don't know what the caravan is, Kevin.
Feliz Navidad. Okay, we don't need
We're done with that. We've moved on, actually. Okay. Thank you. Dave Attell and Jeff Ross, the Roastmaster himself, joining us in studio coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, talking about their outstanding new Netflix series called Mike Bumping. First, though.
Nope.
What?
Bumping mics.
Bumping mics. Sorry. Bumping mics. Okay. First, though, John Allen Chow was his name.
He was
26 years old.
Okay.
And he is very much into the Lord. He attended a Christian high school in Washington State. He graduated from Oral Roberts University. And then he went to missionary school. And he has been a missionary around the world ever since. I mean, he...
What's missionary school?
It's where...
It's literally a college for...
Yeah, it's not a college, but it's where you go and you get trained to be a missionary, to go around the world and spread the word of the gospel to people.
Gotcha.
When you're generally not welcome. He has led backpacking expeditions in California and the Cascade Mountains. He coached soccer to poor kids in South Africa. He worked in Kurdistan with Syrian and Iraqi refugees. He was spoken of as fun, spirited, and engaging. I say all this so you'll be as upset with Allie as I am at how delighted she is that he's now dead.
Oh, my God.
Because by all accounts, he's a great dude.
Uh-huh.
He wanted to share the gospel, Kevin, to some of the most remote people on Earth. They lived on a tiny little island, they still do, called North Sentinel Island. And it's out there between East Asia and India.
And were they receptive?
they met him at the shore, I'll tell you that.
Okay, good.
With bows and arrows. Oh. And they killed him immediately when he landed on the island. He knew it was incredibly dangerous. He hired somebody, a boat. He paid a boat guy $325 to take him close enough to the island that he could get out and walk.
Wrong
the
boat
island.
Guy.
And he tried on November 14th, and they shot arrows at him, including one that pierced his Bible. And he wrote in his diary, he's like, you know, I'm frightened and I'm frustrated, and I know everybody thinks I'm crazy, but I really want to declare Jesus to these people. I worry about the soul of the people of the North Sentinel Island. I want to make sure they get to go to heaven too. So I'm going to try again. And that's what he did. He tried again.
Mm-hmm.
And this time he made it onto the sand. And then was immediately killed by bows and arrows. And now they're trying to figure out, the rest of the world is trying to figure out how to get his body back, because this is an incredibly remote tribe who doesn't want anybody coming to their island.
So anybody else that shows up to try and get his body will also be killed by bow and arrow.
Well, and you're leaving out that the Indian government forbids interaction with this island. You are not allowed to go near this island.
Oh, is that right?
You will be in huge trouble. If you're not killed.
Okay.
But Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus.
I hear ya.
Right, but here's my thing. Mm-hmm. 7 billion people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of other people you can go to that won't shoot you with arrows.
Yeah.
Right?
That's my whole point.
He said, please do not be angry at them or God if I get killed. Rather, please live your lives to obedience or whatever he has called you to do, and I'll see you again. That was what he wrote right before he headed for the island. And his body is still on the island, and people want to get his body off, but nobody's going to go near the island. Now, why is it that the Indian government doesn't want people to visit this island, Allie?
Well, for one thing, they're so isolated and so remote, and they've been living this way forever. Mm-hmm. Anybody that comes on that island, they have no immunity built up. This whole population can be wiped out by someone with the flu. But
they don't know that, do they?
Well, there's this whole discussion of, well, they don't know any better. They don't know about the outside world. They've adapted over time, just like we've adapted. So them not knowing about, you know, technology and stuff like that, they've adapted in their own way.
No, I hear that, but I'm saying that's not why they shoot people to get on their beach, because they're afraid that they'll be infected with a disease they're not ready for. They just don't like people to come to their beach.
There's another island close to it that had the majority of their population.
Oh, okay. So maybe they
wiped out.
Do know that.
They absolutely know, because okay, that population was wiped out by a colonizer that went over there. Don't know if he was trying to spread the word of the Lord or what he was doing, but these are an isolated people that just want to be left alone.
I'm an isolated people who just want to be left alone. Why can't I get that
you need a bow and arrow,
circle,
dude,
around me? Yeah.
Here's the thing. I too went to Catholic school, mm-hmm, Catholic high school. I went to a Jesuit college. I believe the word missionary is derived from Jesuits. I know from religion.
Are you going to this island to get the guy's body?
Absolutely not, because okay, I respect my fellow man. Mm. If you believe in the Lord and you want everyone to know it, that's on you. But here's my thing with religion. Once you cross the line of you wanting everyone to believe what you believe, mm-hmm, we are in a world of hurt. If your religion teaches you to be a better human being, good on you, no matter what you believe. The second you start pushing that on somebody that isn't receptive to hearing it, you're in the wrong.
I'm not saying I disagree with you, but just let me play devil's advocate for a second. What if he sincerely believes that people who don't believe in Jesus are going to go to hell, and he really is doing it from a good place of trying to help? He's not forcing anyone to convert, but he at least wants to put the material in front of them so they have the opportunity to at least know about it and make a choice.
Well, maybe, yeah, he thinks they don't know anything about it.
I'm sure that he had all of their language in a big old binder so he could talk to them. They don't speak your language. What are you doing, sir? You knew what was going to happen and you did it anyway because you felt entitled, and that is a sickness.
So he's a dumbass, basically.
He's an a-hole.
When he was shot with arrows
was
2 days before, yes, when he was shot with arrows the first time he came close to the island on the 14th, he yelled, "My name is John, I love you, and Jesus loves you." And then he turned around and hightailed it out of there until he tried again 2 days later. So, yeah,
look,
he definitely knew
if
he
you
was
get
not
shot
be well-received
the first time you're close.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe regroup. Don't go back
there. Regroup. Go somewhere else. I mean, there's doors. There's doors to knock on. This is a remote, isolated
that has already shot you with arrows.
That has shot you with arrows. That it's illegal to even approach this island. There are government restrictions.
So what it you're just saying is, if there's anybody out there who needs to spread the Lord, just go to Hawaii or someplace. Right?
There are nicer islands.
Yeah.
Keep it to yourself.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
This is Frankie McDonald, my old team stage live in Sydney, Nova Scotia. Heavy rain is headed towards Southern California on Thursday, November 29th, 2018.
That's tomorrow.
It's going to bring up to 30-plus millimeters of rain, especially in Los Angeles, California, and San Diego, California. It's going to bring a lot of rain. Winds are going to be pretty strong. That's going to cause a lot of rain in greater Los Angeles, California, Corona, California, Orange County, Anaheim, California, and San Diego, California. Is going to bring a lot of rain. There'll be a lot of pills in the streets. There'll be a ton of rain.
By the way, a couple things about Frankie. He's very concerned about the puddles in the street. I don't know what he thinks is going to go wrong with the puddles in the street, but we handle them okay, right? Don't we?
We do all right with puddles, but he covers everything. He just wants to inform, and I love that about him.
There is a lot of rain coming, mm-hmm, you guys, and Frankie has some good ideas about how you can be prepared for the storm.
And that could cause landslides and mudslides in some places, because there will be a lot of rain in Southern California on Thursday, November 29, 2018. People in Southern California, be prepared. Have your rubble ready, wrinkles ready, wrinkles ready. When it goes tight, ready, rubbles ready, wrinkles.
You guys get the
what? What was that?
I didn't understand
wrinkles.
That. If
you
I'm getting
get
wrinkles from rain,
what was that
rain,
last part?
All I got was raincoats.
I think,
raincoats.
Yes. I think Frankie's been doing this too long. He's starting to forget.
People in Southern California, be prepared. Have your rubble ready, wrinkles ready, wrinkles ready. When it goes tight, ready, rubbles ready, wrinkles.
You got it this time, though, right?
No.
No idea.
Keep you dry. Make sure if your Samsung Galaxy shirts, Samsung Galaxy smartphone shirts, Samsung Galaxy tablet shirts, smartphones, cell phones, laptops, and tablet shirts, and every tree sheet, and 4G at ready.
Does he have a deal with Galaxy there?
I hope so. He should.
Yeah.
Sure sounds like.
When a heavy rain happens, don't walk to the puddles. Avoid the puddles and go for a walk. Have your umbrella ready as well. If everybody living in Southern California, especially in Los Angeles, San Diego, be prepared for it. Hey, parade on Thursday, November 29th, 2018. Don't get caught in hay parade. Stay dry and be safe.
Stay dry and be safe. Okay, thank you, Frankie. We appreciate that very much because we wouldn't have heard about that. Hey, Allie's here. It's time for What's Happening. And then in about 5 minutes, we'll give you some tickets to the show. You know, we're talking about the K-Rock Absolute Almost Christmas 2018. We'll tell you how you can win in about 5 minutes. First, what's going on, Allie?
I'm not sure if you saw this video. We linked it at krock.com, but it's video of a teenager who had this tumor that was discovered because she had a really unusual type of epilepsy. And she had seizures that were triggered by listening to music or singing, which is a huge problem because she basically is a self-taught musician. So what she loved was triggering these seizures, and that was the type of epilepsy she had. I had never heard of it before.
Wait, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. She wanted to trigger the seizures?
No. She's a
that's
self-
a great question.
Oh,
I thought you said what she loved is triggering the seizures. I'm sorry.
She had these seizures because of what she loved, because she's a self-taught musician. Okay. It's apparently called musicogenic epilepsy.
I had never heard of it.
But maybe God is trying to tell her something.
You stop it.
Oh, yeah. Man. You're from hell.
If God hasn't gotten to William Shatner yet, he's not going to her.
So she's having brain surgery, and they're recording it. And during her procedure, doctors had her sing a song, and she chose Weezer's 2001 hit "Island in the Sun" to trigger the responses so they could work on it.
So this is in the operating room.
Yes.
Holy crap.
So weird.
So she's singing that to make a seizure happen so that they can fix it?
And it makes me feel so fine, I can't control my brain. Are you kidding with that line right there? So it's the most beautiful video. It's amazing.
Yeah, if you want to see somebody's head split open.
Are they able to fix it?
Listen, I don't have all that information.
Okay. I thought that was important.
She's recovering nicely after the surgery.
She's playing at the Roxy on Friday if you want to see a seizure.
No, here's the thing.
Hell of a stage show.
Yeah, it's
Weezer
great.
Sees the headline circulating the internet, and they reach out to her on Twitter, wishing you a speedy recovery. Would love for you to join us at one of the shows in the spring. Shoot us a DM, and we'll make it happen.
Any Toto songs you want us to cover?
Please don't tweet back. Don't do it. It's lovely. It's a lovely
video.
That is
a lovely story.
So, krock.com, you dicks. Do you guys remember the uproar of the TV show? It was the documentary on Tom Brady, Tom versus Time, where he
kisses his son on the mouth.
Audacity to kiss his son Jack on the mouth.
Yeah. By the way, I know that sounds like I heard that and was like, oh, it's probably not that bad. Then I watched it. And it's really bad. It's
because Jack is 24.
he's actually 10. Still too old.
He was 10. But here's the thing. It's happening again. This time, David Beckham got the internet talking. He posted a picture on Instagram of him kissing his 7-year-old daughter, Harper, on the lips. They are outside ice skating in front of a festive Christmas tree. And people started responding with, how can you kiss this little girl on the lips? This is not right. Not on lips. Cheeks is okay. Famous dads such as Ryan Reynolds wound up liking the post, and Tom Brady commented. And he wrote, dad and daughter, so sweet.
Not like the kiss of a son.
No. He didn't write that, but he just... what is wrong with people sexualizing a kiss between a parent and a kid?
No. Hold on. I'm looking at the picture of the Beckham kiss. It's just a normal kiss, and that's okay. That's fine.
Okay.
The Tom
Was
Brady
there a tongue
one.
With Tom Brady?
It's, no!
It's too... Oh, come on.
No. Yeah, it's a little creepy.
It's too long. He calls him back for a second kiss, and then they hold it too long. It's too long.
So there's a time limit?
Yes! You don't think there's a time limit?
What's the time limit?
1/1000. That's it. 1 second.
Jensen.
Anything beyond that is weird.
You know what? Allie. Here's the thing. I think if more men showed love to their kids like that,
I said you could
it would
kiss
be
it.
A beautiful thing, and men wouldn't be so afraid of things like showing vulnerability and beauty. Listen, we wouldn't have such toxic masculinity
if vulnerable?
You'd allow your dad to French you.
What's more vulnerable than touching tongues with your dad? It's the worst. Look at the fall. I'm telling you, if you look at the Brady one, it's too long.
So it sounds ridiculous to me. Mm-hmm. But if I look at it, you say it would change my mind?
Stop, watch it. Yeah.
Okay.
Just time it out. It's not good.
Call now.
No, I don't think we need to.
Kiss me.
Oh, no. All right. Not helpful. All right. Let me take your mind off of that completely.
Yeah. Kiss. Bang, 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 bang.
I don't think that's the fear.
Sir, I wish he'd kiss me. All right. Wow. That's a lot of turns taken right then.
I kissed a girl.
Okay.
All right.
Guys, have you ever wondered if your kid swallows a little tiny Lego, how long it'll take before they pass it?
I mean,
kiss it.
Have you never had that happen? No, I've never considered that.
Well, published recently in the Journal of Pediatrics and Child Health, there was a study. Six people, adults, all volunteered to swallow the head of a typical Lego figurine.
But then, first, kiss it.
And then they waited and kept meticulous check of their poop. On average, it took 1.71 days to poop out the Lego. So the whole point of this is to tell parents, don't be searching through your child's poop. They're going to pass it. It's going to be fine.
Did it come out in the shape of a starship?
it was built in the stomach.
Yeah.
He ate the whole case. Something, you know.
All right, listen.
A Lego. I don't think it was a whole Lego set.
Okay.
You guys obviously can't be privy to these scientific breakthroughs that I'm bringing you.
I like the idea, though, that you're like, oh, good news is I got a job. Bad news is I'm searching through poo for a Lego.
So their conclusion was that everything was awesome.
Wow, I don't hate it. Don't even file it. Everything is cool when you're part of a
team. Everything is awesome. He pulled it off. I mean,
I gotta be honest. We're not even gonna file that.
Yeah.
That's good. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm as shocked as you are.
Pretty well done.
And on that note, happy birthday to Karen Gillan, John Stewart, Judd Nelson, and Ed Harris. And that's what's happening.
It's Kevin and Bean.
K-U-Rock, K-R-O-Q.
All right, look, here's what I'm saying. We have to come up with a lot of games for this for this giveaway. Because we're doing it for quite some time.
That was your excuse for Name This Machine yesterday.
And it went pretty well.
You guys, I got all the trophies at home mailed to me. Did you guys get the trophies for Name
This
Machine?
Oh, yeah. I didn't get any. Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay.
Broadcasting,
I didn't realize we were recognized.
Museums, all sorts of things sent me.
We just did it yesterday.
Yeah, they said overnight.
Overnight, okay. Yeah.
Here's the thing, is K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018 is coming up the weekend after this one ahead of us. Saturday and Sunday, December 8th and 9th at the Forum. We are giving away tickets to Night One right now with Smashing Pumpkins, 30 Seconds to Mars, Third Eye Blind, Greta Van Fleet, Bad Religion, AFI, and more. Plus, you get access to the Bud Light backstage passes. Now, the game is called Tell Me What It Means.
Yeah, I'll tell you what it means, what it really, really means. So tell me what it means, what it really, really means. I'll tell you what it means, what it really, really means. So tell me what it means, what it really, really means. I really, really, really want to know. What's a FUPA?
FUPA is the acronym for Fat Upper Area, for those of you not in the know.
Oh.
What's happening?
Wow.
That's why is Beer Mug explaining how Tell Me What It Means means?
Wow.
And why is it happening? More importantly.
Wow.
Wow. Allie, you are our host. We have callers on the line ready to go. What do they need to know?
I'm going to give you an acronym. Like an what? An acronym would be the initial letters of the words, and you pronounce it as a word. So, like, FBI, what does that mean? Well, it's the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
We're basing this off AFI, right?
AFI,
yes.
Which is
a fire
inside.
Correct.
CHUD, Cannibalistic Humanoid Underground Dweller. Okay, that was just for me. Yeah. So I'm going to give you what it is. You just have to tell me what it means.
Okay. I like it. And if you're right, you go into the drawing, and somebody at the end will do a drawing. Somebody will win tickets to the show and the Bud Light backstage area as well. Who's up first, please?
Alvaro in Carson. Hi.
Hey. Hi.
Hey, Alvaro.
Hey, how are you?
Good, and yourself?
Good. ESPN.
ESPN?
Yes. What does it stand for?
I have no idea.
I didn't either, Alvaro.
You could take it letter by letter.
I mean, he doesn't know.
He doesn't know it.
All right. It's Entertainment Sports Programming Network, ESPN.
Oh. I'm with you. Oh. I wouldn't have got that
one
either.
Sorry about that. So tell me what it means, what
it really, really means. Let's go to...
like I have ESPN or something.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Let's go next. Andrew in Claremont. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you? Good.
Hey, Andrew. D-O-A.
Dead on arrival.
Indeed. Ooh. So tell me what it means, what it
really, really means. Nicely done. Let's go to Gabriel in Covina. Good morning, Gabriel.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. All right, Gabriel. Mad.
I think you can spell that one for you. Go ahead.
Mothers against...
Yes?
Mothers against drunk driving?
Yes.
Yes. So tell me what it means,
what it really, really means. Stop for a drink in between. Wow.
By the way, kind of a downer. DOA into mad, right?
Listen,
what are you doing to us?
Pick it up.
What I do.
Let's go to Steven in Moreno Valley. Hi.
Hey, Steven. Just to,
good.
Just to keep with the downer.
What are you going
to
do, HIV?
I was going to do DARE.
DARE. Drug abuse resistant education.
Hi, wow. I know that.
Wow.
Impressive.
Somebody's a junkie.
Somebody's a junkie, did you say?
Yes.
Or maybe they just paid attention when Nancy Reagan was telling us stuff.
Look how many times he's been in rehab. That's
he's
incredible.
He's a narc.
All right, let's go to Vicky. Good morning, Vicky.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We are good.
Good. Vicky, good. What about scuba? Scuba.
I didn't know this one either.
That one's so hard.
Oh.
Take it letter by letter.
So you're saying take it letter by letter.
Yes. Go on.
Yeah. So yeah. What?
And I've done it. Hey, I've done it before. So self-contained underwater breathing apparatus.
What
yes.
the hell?
Yes.
Superstar.
Unbelievable. So tell me what it means, what it really, really means. How did she do that?
Narc.
That was good.
She's all for narc.
All for narc.
Let's go to Brent in Irvine. Good morning, Brent.
What did you party, nephew?
Oh, switched it up. Nice. I like it. Brent, what about SWAT? SWAT.
Specialized Weapons Attack Team.
I mean, that's pretty close.
You want to take another crack at it? You're half right.
I would guess. I'm just guessing. Like I said, I know it's Specialized Weapons, and then maybe... I don't know. Like I said, I'm failing today.
Well, I know you said... I mean, he said it. He didn't say it.
It's Special Weapons and Tactics.
That's what we were looking for.
Yeah.
So sorry, Brent. Sorry. Thank you for playing, though.
Too bad you're not
a narc. For a couple more.
Right? It would have helped if he was a narc.
Yeah.
Sophia La Mirada, hi.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Sophia. How about NASA?
They just put a ship on Mars.
That helps, Bean. Thank you.
National Agency of Space Aerospace? I don't know.
It's okay. It's all right. It's National Aeronautic and Space Administration.
Oh, it's right on the tip of her tongue.
Right?
So close.
Yes.
Very close.
Such nerds,
anyway,
right?
All right, one more, you guys. Let's go to Sarah in Lakewood.
Hi, guys.
Hey, hi, Sarah. What about ice?
Oh. It is
in the news
Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
Yes. Indeed. Well done. So tell me what it means, what it
really, really means. I'm very impressed with many of our listeners today. Sarah and Andrew, Gabrielle, Stephen, and Vicky, as I understand, are all in the drawing for night one of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Christmas 2018 and Bud Light backstage passes. Unfortunately, mostly losers on the line. Only one can win. Who's it going to be?
Hey, Jensen, who's not going to have FOMO?
Oh, boy.
It's
Gabriel. Boo. Congratulations.
Boo. Gabriel.
Yay him, boo me. That's what they're
right.
doing.
Yay him, boo Alec. Congrats, Gabriel. We'll see you there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, guys.
And thanks for playing the game.
Morning.
You do too. I'll tell you what it means, what it really, really means. So tell me
what it means, what it really, really means. It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
So without further ado, I don't want a gigantic round of applause for them. Just the kind of obligatory, well, I guess we're supposed to clap at this point because he told us to. The greatest comedy team since Ike and Tina Turner. Jeff Ross and Dave Attell.
Here they are, ladies and gentlemen. Their new Netflix series is called Bumping Mics. It is out now. Jeff, Dave, welcome back to K-Rock, guys.
Thanks, Kevin and Bean.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Of course. It's our pleasure. How long, you made reference a couple of times during the show that you guys have known each other forever. How long has it been for reals?
I would probably say our entire career got to be 25 years.
Wow. 5 years.
Yeah. And Dave was already kind of up and swinging, mm-hmm. hosting the like best open mics when I was trying to put my hat in the...
You were one of the open micers?
Yeah. And Dave was already the king.
And did he deny you at any point?
No. He was always very nice. He didn't really know who I was yet, but he had a great joke about Elie Wiesel. And having a laser light show.
Laser Wiesel. That was
Laser Wiesel.
Planetarium.
And I was like,
it was
like
a different time. It was a different America. I saw Jeff. I said, look at this good-looking young kid. He's going to make it. And, you know, here we are.
Here we are. And you really forge, I mean, the one thing that the sense of community that I get from watching the show, we'll get into some details about all the special guests that dropped by over the course of the 3 nights you did this, but there's such a community. I mean, you guys, not just you two, but the whole community really loves each other and supports each other. It just must be a wonderful family to be a part of.
Can I say right away is that all the people that dropped by not only were great comics, but as you said, they are friends, and I think the reason why they dropped by is not only for the like helping us out, doing us a favor, which is for sure they did that. It's just that right. Like other comics love when you're doing something out of the not the usual, where they get to like just be loose and hang. They don't have to learn lines. They don't have to go right. And makeup. They just show up and get to be funny, and it's almost like, you know, it's playtime. It's not work at all.
And if you're in a group, it's not all on you either.
And they know that. Like, we totally have their back. We're so excited to have them there. And, you know, I'm not the best interviewer. I you know, we just playing for laughs. So it's not like it's a, you know, a serious thing. It's just fun, just pure fun. And Jeff, who is awesome, knows all these people.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I was surprised every night. Like, who's going to be here? It's like Bruce Willis. And what's her name? What's your aunt's name?
My aunt Donna.
Aunt Donna. I mean, come on.
Is that a 1-2 punch?
Is that a 1-2 punch or what?
Yeah, we really mixed it up. Like, friends and family. It was the end of a tour. Dave and I had been on tour for, you know, a couple of months. And rather than do one more tour date as a special, we just set up in Greenwich Village at one of our home clubs, the Village Underground, for 3 nights.
Now, do you go to Netflix and just say, look, we're going to do 3 nights? So that's our thing.
Netflix wanted more than that.
They did.
They would have done a 4 nights. Dave and I looked at each other and go, well, let's leave them wanting more.
When you guys get up on stage, I know you both have a million jokes in your head because you've been doing it for so long. But the sense I got is it could go anywhere and you were just open to whatever happened next. It didn't even seem like there was a playbook at all when you took the stage.
Here's our production meeting.
All right.
Dave smokes a cigarette in the hallway 45 right. seconds before we get introduced.
Okay.
And says, don't forget to ask me about Detroit.
Yeah. Keep it loose. Keep it fluid.
And then I have nothing after that.
Adapt or die. That's our motto over there.
So when I run out of jokes, I look at Dave or I order mozzarella sticks from the bar. And
Jeff does
happens.
Eat more on stage than any comedian you've ever seen, by the way. He gets hungry about every 30 minutes.
Jeff is
because he's high.
Jeff brings a.
It takes a lot of energy to keep up with Dave. I need to carb up.
That's pretty nice. Yeah. It's. I'll say one thing is that the looser it is, I think the more fun it is. But since it was like a Netflix thing, we wanted to step up the game, so we brought a lot of material that we've been working on the road. We always riff. I think that is always our best stuff. Is like it's just in the moment, and you know, we did a bunch of casino shows. We did a bunch of tours, and like you know, I can't say it. I can't say it enough. This guy is great, loose with a crowd. I mean, like, you know, it's just. Keeping up with that is a lot of fun, too.
I mean, both of you seem so at home on the stage, you're not worried for a second.
Maybe and that's... a little too comfortable at times.
Well, thank you. Yeah. It's fine. Somebody had to drop the hammer on this
no
love
problem.
Fest over here. It's about time we had an adult in the room.
Said Allie who's wearing the cape
it's
from the hair
cape.
Salon.
Yeah. Great point. That brings me in my next question.
Let's hear it.
When you guys go after each other, there's like this camaraderie. It's amazing. Then you bump the mics.
like, oh, that was a good zinger, that type of thing. But then when you turn it to the audience, mm-hmm. I love how much people love it. Like, yes. There's genuine joy from these people that are like, he just ruined my outfit. He just ruined my cape. It's not a great cape. I get it. Marriage. I love it so much. But has there ever been anyone in the audience that
got
offense?
Angry? Yeah.
Oh, I think, well, no. Jeff could tell you better than me because he's been, you know, he's the top man of roasting and all that mm-hmm. stuff. But I would say that crowd, they definitely wanted it.
Yeah.
And they definitely showed up for it. And when you talk about, like, when we go after each other and all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff, that's the pure joy of
it. I love it.
I love that part.
Yeah. And the way you two look at each other when you know he just got you,
yeah.
It's awesome. I got, like, a boner, like, 10 times watching it.
Jeff, good. Let me ask you, if you're just joining us, by the way, Jeff Ross, David Tell in studio with us now on the Kevin and Bean Show, bumping mics with both men available on Netflix right now. I want to ask you this because, you know, you've been doing your roast battle show, too.
Yeah.
Is there anything off limits between you two when you jab at one another?
There is.
And what is it?
I don't like when Dave calls us old.
Yeah.
I feel like we are in our prime.
Okay.
And we're at our top of our game. And sometimes Dave will be like,
Dave do
we've been
lot?
Around so long. Like, we'll bring, like, college kids on stage.
I'm Team Dave. When Dave said, that. I'm dying, I'm like, I feel you, brother.
he totally, that's so true, Jeff, that you said that. It's like, he is the most positive guy. He is like, he's like a Tony Robbins, like, tape right now. It's like, you know, you can do it. You got to believe in yourself. I'm the most negative. It's like, there's a rain cloud, you know, and like, he's just like a rainbow over there. So
it's actually when Dave came to LA is when the wildfires went out. He brought the grade.
We got to take a quick break. More with Jeff and Dave. Again, the specials are on Netflix right now. You got to watch all three. You can't believe how funny they are, you guys. More with our guests in a moment right after this on K-Rock.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
Two of our favorites back in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jeff Ross, the Roastmaster General, and right. comedian actor Dave Attell as well. Bumping mics with Jeff Ross and Dave Attell is now on Netflix. Three yeah. episodes filmed over a weekend in New York. Jeff, you said you get a lot of inspiration out of being in New York. Does it feel real different to you than being in Los Angeles?
I feel funnier in New York.
Funnier.
Everything hits me in a different way. The smells, the sights, all the comics.
And you're considered good looking in New York, too, right?
Are you roasting me, Kevin?
I think you're thinking of the Ukraine.
Are you poking the bear, Kevin? You know, honestly, it's because when I get there, Dave's there. And he ups my game.
Oh, you guys love so much.
I go on stage with Dave, and I can't, like, slack off. I got to bring my A game. Can't bring a knife to a gunfight.
Right. We played a clip when we brought you on from Gilbert Gottfried, and he steals episode
absolutely.
Two.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
There's nothing your listeners need to hear more at 8 in the morning than from Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah.
That sounds
you guys finished the show, and it was a huge night, and you thank you for coming. We love you. Good night. And immediately, the crowd starts chanting, Gilbert, like they just couldn't wait for
absolutely.
You to get off the stage. So Gilbert could come back on. He's fascinating to me, that dude.
Yeah, he's a weirdo.
Fascinating.
I've said it before that he was the missing link, the missing part of our team. It's like Gilbert completes us. Because it's like him and I, you know, we're broken toys, but Gilbert is like the original maker. He is like the guy. And he is like, he is like a rock in a storm. Like, you could throw any insult at him and he'll just like smile and then like slowly you can see the like buffering in his head. Something's gonna come out and it's like, watch out, everybody out of the way, here it comes.
We were broadcasting from New York for a week one time and we had Gilbert Gottfried in the first day and we said, come back anytime. And so he came back the very next day. He was just jogging. He was in the area. He came back, same clothes.
Yeah, that's right.
He was born the day before.
Wow.
And like 3-4 days in a row, he came back and
Gilbert
said,
is awesome.
Here.
Doesn't like to fly, so how does he get around? Mega bus.
Does
Would
he?
Would you want to sit next to Gilbert Gottfried?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
That is a new reality
he
show.
He doesn't fly at all?
Yes. Instead of comics driving cars when they're getting coffee, Gilbert on a mega bus.
Oh, jeez. We all saw his, you know, his documentary, which was a fascinating look at his somewhat normal life, I guess, mm-hmm. with
absolutely
his
normal.
Family and everything
yes.
like that. But there's something that I just can't put my finger on that is so fascinating about him. I mean, is he loving his life, or what do you guys think?
You know,
is he happy?
If you ask him how his wife and kids are, he'll go, "Yeah." Like, so that's his version of happiness.
Okay.
His wife
but
is
we
awesome.
Also got
that's
to meet his wife when she was in.
Yes.
And their relationship is beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're very loving towards one another, but I imagine that that's his meh, whatever. But then Gilbert, the way they look at each other.
Gilbert basically has a cramped, overheated, tiny studio apartment that he lives in inside a $4 million co-op.
Yeah.
like somehow Dara has built this amazing life for Gilbert.
She's awesome.
Around his nonsense, his craziness. It's beautiful. And his kids, Max and Lily, are totally hilarious.
Beautiful.
Totally charming. They're just great kids. They worship Gilbert.
If there's a bring your dad to school day, they're taking him?
Oh, yeah. He walks into school. He loves those kids. Max and him watch old monster movies, black and white monster movies, and they draw together and they walk all over New York City together. And he's a really lucky guy, man.
When you guys go out after the show to the deli, and you all have corned beef and Saggets with you too, I'm thinking that must be like the most fun part of your whole day is just four comedians sitting in the booth just.
Well, you could say four Jewish people eating corned beef in a deli. Go ahead. You don't have to label us as comedians. Some of us are accountants and lawyers and doctors. Look at that group of comedians over there.
Let's talk about some of the people that that jump up in the Netflix special, because people are going to be surprised. Who are your guests that you brought up?
Michael Che.
Amy Schumer.
Michelle Wolf.
Nikki Glaser.
Hasan Minhaj.
Rachel Feinstein.
Nikki Glaser, you said. Let's see.
Dr. Ken Jeong.
Wow. Paul Rudd. Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
My Aunt Donna.
The Tower Twins.
Israel Del Toro.
Israel Del Toro. An amazing
God
guy.
Bless him.
Super funny. This guy, honestly. Jeff and I, you knew him before me, for sure. Tell him how you know him.
I've met him here and there over the years, but we were in San Francisco doing the Bob and Lee Woodruff Foundation Stand Up for Heroes show. Raises money for severely wounded people from battle, American soldiers. And this guy comes on stage. There's a guy with one leg. He pulled his leg off. He kind of upstaged the whole show.
How do you follow that?
We didn't. We said goodnight. But we never really got to roast this guy, Izzy Del Toro, who's burnt. He's a severely burnt person. It's not even the top thing you think about when you meet this guy, because he still teaches,
he's a parachute instructor for the Air Force.
No,
he was
an
IED attack. He's burned over 80% of his body.
Wow.
It's an amazing story, really, honestly.
So he comes to our show. So of course, and I see Dave like grabbing the mic with rage. He's like, "Where's this going, Jeff?"
Yeah, I was like, "Come on." And
don't
by the way,
we both
have done like USO like for a long, long time and lot of troop benefits. So this is like a new level for me.
We're super kind of respectful, and then suddenly somebody volunteering to get roasted.
Yeah.
And, we don't hold back. We gave it to him good. And then he finally got the last laugh. He said, standing next between me and Dave, he felt like George Clooney.
So, he is so fun.
Like that.
What a great guy.
Yeah.
He really is great.
So it's like a friends and family kind of vibe. I wouldn't even say it's a roast show. It's sort of just like a ball-busting parade.
Who came up with Bump the Mics? How'd
Jeff,
that happen?
That's Jeff.
I'm not sure how we started actually doing the bumping. Someone asked me that the other day.
I think it's your idea for sure.
No, but I mean, I feel like the bumping we just did organically.
Okay.
We probably just looked at each other and just bumped.
Just sort of like a congrats.
But calling it bumping, like we didn't even realize we were doing that. And then when we went to a comedy festival, the Montreal Just for Laughs Comedy Festival, I finally talked Dave into going on the road for 3 nights to do it up there for festival money. So he was like, what?
Yeah. They're paying Canadian, just tolerance. They're paying the goodwill and science.
And my agent, Stacy, said, well, what's the show called? And I said, let me call you back. And I thought about it, and I ran Bumping Mics by Dave. Of course, he was like, two on the nose. Nope, not doing it.
Yeah.
And I called my agent back, and I said, Bumping Mics, it's perfect. and then the rest is history up until this moment.
I wanted to go with something else, like maybe like The Other Walking Dead.
What was your thing yesterday?
Two Costellos looking for an abbot.
Laurel and Hardly.
Exactly. I don't know where we rate on all the comedy teams. What do you guys think? I'd say we're probably in the top 100 of comedy teams.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
Top 100.
Yeah, I'd say that like we're somewhere between, I don't know. Well, you know, there was a high bar with Netflix because they had Steve Martin and Martin Short. They did their thing, and I watched that.
That makes
thing.
It tough.
That was
great.
Like super, like a lot of talent, yeah. A lot of like sketches,
props, yeah.
Back and forth. And we were like, you know what, we don't have any of those skills. So
well, they do a show. We do a party. It's different.
Yeah.
Our thing is like the Ramones. It's very punk rock. Every joke is quick and fast, and I think our jokes per minute is really high.
I totally agree. And Netflix, I mean, I'm the millionth person to say how much they've changed the comedy game, certainly the economics of it,
yeah.
And it's certainly been great for comedians. But I'm telling you, as a guy like me who really didn't used to watch comedy on television that much, Netflix, it's changed my whole perspective on it. I watch so much comedy now just because it's so convenient and so commercial free, and I love it.
Well, let me ask a question since, you know, we're all in the same loop here now of like, you remember live performance and now, you know, watching it on cable, and now you're watching it basically on your phone or your laptop, and like the comedy experience is becoming like such a like super personal thing now. It's like, you know, do you find like, here you are laughing and your cat goes like meow. I mean, like, it's weird, like when you're just there alone.
It is bizarre, yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody was all laughing.
But I think comedy's just more important than it's been, at least in my lifetime.
I'm sorry, what?
I was just pissed that you looked at me when you said your cat. I was like,
oh,
no. You. I don't have a cat.
I mean, you are a woman of a certain age, Allie. I mean,
hear
come on.
You.
Allie's never looked better. Boom, bumping it.
Thanks.
You think somebody wearing a cape from a hair salon would have a nicer hairstyle?
Wow.
I mean, too far.
Before we go,
you're right.
This guy.
All right.
Finish that thought, Jeff. Comedy is more important now than ever. I think you're right about that.
Because everybody's unsure and uncertain and anxious and depressed and
angry.
And angry,
yeah.
and scared, quite frankly. And everything's watered down. The media is compromised. But comedy is still very potent, very truthful. You wouldn't want your, you know, it's the best medicine, right? Laughter. So you wouldn't
Absolutely.
Want that watered down. You wouldn't
Absolutely.
Want any medicine.
Dave, will you co-sign those remarks and leave us on a positive note?
Wow. Wait for me to throw it out. I would say that comedy's changing in America. As Jeff said, it is like a rough time. And that the fact that, like, I'll just say it and I don't want to jinx it, but, like, the feedback both that we've gotten from both comedy fans, other comics, I mean, I was blown away. It really is amazing to see that people still like it, like unfiltered, dirty, quick humor where, you know, it's not all positive messages and all that kind of
it's
stuff.
It's not all PC.
It really did shock me, and I can't thank these people enough.
How do you handle those compliments?
How do I?
Yeah, is it difficult?
I go into a shame cycle.
Best compliment. All right.
I lock myself in a closet.
I wouldn't post it, but I got the best compliment ever when I woke up this morning to come here.
Okay.
Direct message, Instagram, from Drake. Bumping mics Bumble is brag. So good. Holy F, I haven't laughed at something like that in a long time.
Wow.
So, like,
but he
I don't
thought
know.
He was sending that to a teenage girl.
Maybe.
What, too soon?
Maybe.
All right.
But,
wow.
I don't know.
Sorry.
I live for the feedback.
Can we sidetrack you? You live for the feedback.
You know, look at Jeff. He loves rap. Mostly a chicken rap, though.
Sure. Bumping mics with Jeff Ross and David Tell. I think you can tell by now we loved it. It's season one now available on Netflix. Don't miss it. Jeff, Dave, we love you guys.
Season one.
Well, it's season one. It is, right?
It's also season two, three, and four.
Yeah. It'll be back. Believe me, they're going to make you make more of these. They really are.
Boom.
We love you guys.
Love
Happy
you
holidays.
For having us.
Thanks for coming
love
in.
You back.
Thank you, guys.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Now here's Allie with what's happening on a Wednesday.
A couple years ago, we saw men that were wearing a lot of glitter in their beards. Kind of took over Instagram. Oh, check me out with my glittery beard.
Mm.
Which gave me just so much anxiety, thinking that glitter is everywhere. You are never getting it. It's just a problem.
I've been medicated for OCD most of my life.
Yeah.
And one of the ones that has stuck around, glitter.
Is that right?
Yeah, still
really?
Pretty bad.
Really?
Hate
so what
it.
Do you do at a strip club?
I don't go for many reasons, but one of them, there's glitter there.
There's glitter, right.
Yeah.
What was that? What was that about? Why were men doing that? Was that a charity push or something?
No,
or?
Hey, look at me. I've got glitter in my beard. It's
just
very
to be
weird.
Cool.
Then it turned into men hanging little ornaments in their beard.
Yeah, I've seen that. That's awful.
Yeah. And then it turned into little Christmas lights throughout your beard, and you'd have to wear either a scarf or a hat so you could put the battery pack.
Sure.
You know, disguise it. Well, us ladies are not going to be denied. We want in on this Christmas spirit on our face region. This is so dumb. And it first debuted last year, but didn't really take off. But okay. Now, whew, gangbusters. What you're going to do is you're going to coat your eyebrows with wax.
What?
So they look like little branches.
Okay.
Then you're going to attach little baubles, little glitter, sometimes even stars.
To your
eyebrows? To your eyebrows. They're known as Christmas eyebrows. So that's happening.
Is it?
In the world.
Is it too late to stop that from happening?
To make sure those people never have children. Mm-hmm.
I hope it shuts their eyes. I literally hope it shuts their eyes.
Yeah.
Just swell shut.
Yeah, just absolutely glues it together.
Like
and they
some
can't see
sort
ever
of allergic reaction and they're blind for life. That's what you want.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Tree eyes. I hate them. God. It's so annoying. What do you need?
It really is.
It's so dumb.
It's so much look at me. Stop it.
But it's like everyone's going to ask you all day long what it is. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just an attention-seeking monstrosity.
Yeah.
I hope they go blind.
So you hate Christmas is what I'm picking up.
The Jew in the room.
All right.
Allie, do you mind if I mention that is not the story that I thought you were going to do when you were talking about the things that ladies were going to put on their face?
Oh, no.
Have you seen the other story that has become very controversial? Kate Beckinsale is involved and some other Hollywood celebrities, Kate Blanchett, Sandra Bullock, they're all talking about the penis facials. Have you heard about those?
Oh, yeah. That's a long time ago, though.
But it's hot. It's back in the news. Kate Beckinsale is taking a lot of heat. She deleted her post about it.
Help me understand.
Here's what they do. They take the foreskins of Korean babies and clone them and then liquefy that.
This can't be real.
And then put it in a serum from those stem cells.
This is not a thing.
It's all true. And apparently you put it on your face and it makes your skin glow.
I was thinking of something else.
I have a much quicker version.
I'm not sure it's as effective.
It doesn't take as long, though. That's all I'm saying. Fewer steps.
Doesn't involve cloning Korean babies, I'll tell you that. Right. But this is a thing that people are doing, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why? Stop it.
Yeah.
Okay. Back to you.
I hope they go blind.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I had an experience once where I
almost went blind. Yeah.
Right?
We got it.
I understand.
You don't need the visual cue. Yeah. Which helps a lot on the radio.
Yes, nope. Please.
Nope.
Yes, please.
Still only Wednesday.
Come on now.
You guys, this Spider-Man Into the Spideyverse animated feature.
It looks so good.
People are losing their minds over this movie. Right?
The reviews are nuts.
Nuts!
Yeah, it's like considering it one of the best movies of the year.
Yeah, people are losing it over this movie. It opens December 14th, and kind of building on the whole buzz around it, Sony Pictures is looking at ways to continue its expansion into the animated franchise. They're already planning a Spider-Verse sequel that continues Miles Morales' story, and they're now looking at a Spider-Woman film focusing... Ugh. I know, gross.
That's disgusting. Spider-Man has never been a woman. That is absolutely disgusting.
Well,
I don't even know why they would want to do that. What's gonna come out of her arms? Blood?
Oh, wow.
What, are they going to have to put tampons in there to stop the superpowers?
That took a real weird turn. It is a superpower because it enables us to have babies.
Oh, yeah, my wife really does show a superpower. When she, I'll tell you one thing she's good at.
Yep.
Eating ice cream that week.
Oh, dear.
And yelling at me, telling me to take out the trash.
I don't think it's
the studio's
related.
Oh, it's
Donald Trump, and I approve this.
Maybe, focusing on three generations of women with Spidey powers.
Even the old one? Oh my God! As if it's not bad enough, there's a woman you gotta bring an old in?
Like Spider Gwen.
I'll tell you what's
Spider
filled
woman.
With spider webs and cobwebs on that old woman.
Okay, all right, thank you, sir.
Spider Girl. Silk.
You should move on.
Madam Web.
You should move on, maybe he'll leave.
They already did it to the Ghostbusters. They're all of them.
Yeah?
All of them filled with slime. I don't know. I'm out of things.
You tapped out?
Yeah. The Spider-Man movie looks
good. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
I don't know where to go because the next story is so sad. So I just...
Oh, hey, Victoria Beckham expanding her online presence with her very own YouTube channel because a lot of people want to see her beauty tutorials and styling tips.
Oh, jeez. Strong story.
People really looking for this? Okay, I do want to do this story because I read it and I thought, that's odd.
Okay.
LL Cool J is suing promoters of hip-hop festival Rock the Balls, claiming they ripped him off. And I was like, oh, because he did Rock the Bells? That's weird. And then I thought, who has Rock the Balls? And it delighted me to no end. And then I realized that's just a typo. It is Rock the Bells.
Which is a huge hip-hop
it's
festival.
It's a huge festival. And, of course, that came out in 2004. LL Cool J song came out in 1985. So he's like, hi. But I literally thought, oh, LL is like going after Rock the Balls because it's too close to bells.
And I've been here for years rocking my peers and putting suckers in fear. Mama said, knock you out.
Thank you. Balls, 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 balls. Make some noise. Now I demand a Rock the Balls festival.
Right?
Right? Just everyone getting facials. Like we were talking about the first story. Bring it all back.
Is this the sad story? Are you going into the sad story now?
No, I'm not going to do the sad story.
Oh, that would be great.
It's too much.
Okay.
Happy birthday.
What? What did you say?
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Okay.
John Stewart and Karen Gillan, Judd Nelson and Ed Harris and everyone else that's having a happy birthday.
Nope, only Wednesday.
Still no?
It's just Wednesday.
What's happening?
On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow
Nobody
morning...
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
I miss it!
Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We talk to RJ Bell from Vegas about week 13 of the NFL. We have Bo Bachman in studio talking about the L.A. Auto Show. Get up on this with Jensen, and we've got your tickets for K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas and passes to the Bud Light backstage as well tomorrow.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.